Welcome to this Tuesday, January 3rd edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, a day very much on the minds of many of you Iowans today, so we encourage you to go out and attend your local caucus. I'm Lou Anne Crane, here with host, psychologist, and author Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson, and we're coming back to yet another one of our most popular programs of the previous year. We're almost done sharing our best of 2011 programs.
Kind of leaked into 2012 here.
I know, but once again, I have to say, I'm going to be a little sad when we're done with this.
You know, Ryan, I think you captured it perfectly a few weeks ago when you said it's like hearing your favorite song. You can hear it over and over again and just not get sick of it.
And I certainly hope our listeners feel that way about our favorite programs here from last year.
Well, on this third day of the new year, we're going to be featuring what I view as perhaps one of the most important interviews that we shared with our listeners on Family Talk last year. And it's about the threat of Islamic terrorism.
And Doctor, I just want to say that this program we're about to hear was the most requested CD from our listeners for all of last year.
You know, maybe there's a reason for that. And I think the reason is because there are a lot of people anxious about Islamic terrorism. And we don't know what the next year is going to hold. We know who holds the next year, but we don't know what we're going to experience as a nation in these next 12 months. But one thing that we do know, and that's that we're going to go through a presidential election, which will have major implications for our future, regardless of the outcome. That's a turning point, and we do need to be in prayer for our nation that the Lord will lead and guide as we make that all-important decision. We simply must be informed on the issues of national security as we go through this year. And to help inform us and our listeners on this topic, I invited my dear friend, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, to the studio last February. And he's been on the front lines of protecting our country from the many threats that have risen against it in recent years.
And he actually retired as a three-star general with a military service record spanning three decades. And, you know, the dignity and honor with which this gentleman served truly demands our utmost respect.
Well, this is quite a man. He was an original member of the Delta Force and just seemed to always be right there where the action was. In 1980, he was involved in Desert One, which involved the hostage rescue attempt when the Iranians took 53 American diplomats hostage for 444 days. He was also the operations commander when the U.S. rescued students in the Grenada Medical School rescue in 1983, and so many other dangerous military operations, including Black Hawk Down in 1993. So it's just amazing the contribution that he's made to the history and the security of this country.
Dad, he spent the last 4 years in the Army as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and has just a chest full of medals and honors for his service.
So we'll pick up this conversation with you, Dr. Dobson, asking him more about his military record and his life. So here now, once again, is this very important conversation with General Jerry Boykin on this Family Talk broadcast.
How have you managed to survive all those campaigns and all those dangerous missions? Looking back, you must even yourself be amazed at how you were used in the defense of this country.
Well, Dr. Dobson, thanks for letting me be with you and these fine folks here today. And the simple answer is that my mother prayed Psalms 91 over me for 36 and a half years. That's why I'm still here.
You love the Lord too, don't you?
I do indeed.
And you've paid a price for that.
Well, I have paid a price, but as I think about it, Dr. Dobson, I realize that there are Christians around the world that are paying a much greater price than anything that I've ever paid.
Yeah, they're sitting in prison.
They're sitting
today,
in prison.
And some of them have been executed.
That's right.
The two of you, Ryan and Luann, may be aware that we had a little episode in our relationship that goes back a ways, where General Boykin spoke in uniform at a Christian event and got hammered by the Pentagon for it, including Secretary Rumsfeld. And I heard about it and really got exercised over it. And I did an entire program talking about how unfair it was for this man to put his life on the line in all the ways that he had, and then to be criticized for speaking out for his faith in a private event that had occurred at a church. Was a church on the way in California?
Well, I think the one that got the most attention was the First Baptist Church in Daytona Beach, Florida, with Bobby Welch, who later became the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Yes. I think his church got the majority of the attention, but it was a rather humorous event in the end when you aired your program and asked all of your listeners to call two numbers, one at the White House and one at the Pentagon. And it turned out that wherever you got it, you got Donald Rumsfeld's private number, and you locked up the Pentagon switch. And I think you got a phone call from the Pentagon saying, call off the dogs.
I got a phone call from the aide to Secretary Rumsfeld, who was really exercised. And he called and said, call us off. You're paralyzing our office. And I think as a result of that, you were not disciplined at that time. Is that correct?
That's correct. When the investigation was over, they essentially exonerated me, and that was the Pentagon's words. We find this to be a complete exoneration. I was charged with not clearing my talks with the Public Affairs Office. And by the way, I don't think they've ever cleared a speech, but it's one of those obscure things that's still on the books. And so they got me for not clearing my speeches. So it was an exoneration.
Did that have anything to do with your leaving the Army as a three-star?
Well, Dr. Dobson, a lot of people ask me that, and my view is that I have placed myself in God's hands, and where He leads me is where I go. So I believe I'm where I need to be right now. I believe I'm where God has led me to be, and so I can't say that I retired as a result of that.
Hmm. Well, what we want to talk to you about today is America's security and the threat that Lou Anne talked about at the top of the program that comes from Islamic terrorism. It seems as though our political leaders are scared to death to even call it terrorism. Hmm. And that word, as I understand it, has virtually been banned by the White House. But that's what is going on, isn't it? We're under constant threat from Islamic terrorism.
We are indeed. Dr. Dobson, a good example of what you just talked about was when the Department of Homeland Security issued a declaration to law enforcement all over the country, and this was about a year and a half ago, identifying for our law enforcement at the state, local, and federal level that the future threats to America were right-wing Christian groups, pro-life groups, Second Amendment groups, and returning veterans. Now, they got me in all four categories and then never said Islamic terrorist. That should be an indicator of how inept our government and our administration is in dealing with this issue of Islamic extremism. And I use that term, although the people that are really following the dictates of the Quran are what we are euphemistically calling the extremists. They're doing what the Quran says.
Huh. Why do you think we're so afraid to acknowledge that these killings result from radical Islam? You know, what is there about this terrorism that makes us so tentative with those like the Fort Hood shooter who went on to kill 13 people in cold blood? There were all kinds of excuses made for him, and they were very reluctant to say this man is an Islamic terrorist.
But when the Arizona shooting happened, they were all over this person as a Tea Party member and a right-wing extremist. They have no problem heaping on the right-wing side of things. But when someone who considers themselves a Muslim shoots people on a military base, we run from it. I don't understand
at all. Explain what's going on here.
Well, I think there's a number of things that are happening here. First of all, I think that we still consider Islam a religion. Islam has a religious component. And by the way, let me preface this by saying separate the Muslims from Islam. I look at it as two separate things. Yes, I mean they are following the dictates of Islam. But the Muslim people, we have to love. And frankly, Dr. Dobson, I think we have to take the gospel to them and bring light into their world. And they, as we're seeing, they are coming to know Christ in record numbers all over the world. Mm-hmm. But separate the Muslim people from Islam. Islam is not a religion. Islam is a totalitarian way of life. It is, and it starts with a legal system called Sharia law. It is then a financial system. It is a military system. It's a government system. I mean, it's a geopolitical system. And that is hard for us to deal with, the fact that Islam is not a religion and does not deserve First Amendment protections. Those Muslims who don't want anything to do with jihad, who just want to obey the five pillars of Islam, let them worship. But for those who are, in fact, following the dictates of the Quran, they believe that it is their duty and responsibility to establish a global caliphate. That means they then have to destroy our Constitution and replace it with Sharia law.
Is that what they want?
That's what they
want. Is that what all this terrorism is all about?
Terrorism works hand in hand with what we call the cultural jihad. The cultural jihad is more subtle. In 2004, in Annandale, Virginia, we discovered a false basement in a man's home there. It turns out he was the operations officer for the Muslim Brotherhood in America. They went through all of the things in this false basement, and they discovered a five-phased plan to take over America. And as you look at that plan, and it's on the web, you'll see that they're in the latter stages of phase three, and moving into phase four very quickly. And they've done this just since the early 60s when they came to this country. And it is difficult for Americans, for Westerners as a whole, to understand that Islam is not a religion. There are religious Muslims. There is a religious component to it.
Yeah.
But Islam, the term Islam, is not a religion, and it should not have First Amendment protections because Article 6 of our Constitution says that the Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. Now, in 17 court cases, and this is 6 months old, so it may be more than that now, in 17 court cases in 11 different states, judges have considered Sharia in deciding a case. The most egregious was the judge in New Jersey who refused to give a Muslim woman a restraining order because her Muslim husband was serially beating and raping her. And the judge said he acted with no criminal intent. He was operating under his law, Sharia law. Fortunately, there was another judge in New Jersey that actually had a brain that overruled this and gave her the restraining order. But that's the most egregious example of how Sharia law is being implemented in America.
If you had to summarize what you wish the American people knew about Islam, put it in the most simple terms. What is not known generally that should be known?
Well, I think what is important for Americans especially to know is that there is a real threat in America. And it's not – the most extreme threat is not terrorism. It's not the threat of killing a bunch of Americans. It's the threat of –
But that's real too.
That's very real.
Yeah.
And that is why so many people are intimidated. But I think what they need to know is that there is a plan by the Muslim Brotherhood and all of its front groups to take over America. And by the way, Don't say it can't happen, because all you have to do is look at Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is happening in Europe, and all the experts are saying that Europe will be an Islamic continent by the middle of this century. Mm. And that's incredible, but it's because they were ignorant to what Islam was. They made some very poor decisions, and now it is probably irreversible for them. So what do Americans need to know? They need to know that this Muslim Brotherhood threat is very real. Dr. Dobson, in 2008 in Dallas, Texas, there was a trial called the Holy Land Foundation Trial. That trial was the largest terror financing trial in the history of America. They convicted the defendants on 108 counts of raising funds in America to support terrorism. When they finished this trial, the evidence was never refuted by the defense for these defendants. Never refuted. When they finished it, the judge published an unindicted co-conspirator list of over 200 people and organizations in America. At the top of the list was the Council of American Islamic Relations, CARE. Mm-hmm. CARE went back to the judge and said, take us off the list. And the judge said, I will not take you off the list. In fact, I'm going to make it public. And he made it public. And when he made it public, CARE, believing that they were probably going to get a visit from the FBI, began to give their most sensitive documents to a young intern. And what they didn't know was he was not really a Muslim convert. He was the son of a retired Air Force officer named David Gabbets, who was pretending to be a Muslim convert. And he took all those documents and gave them to his father and to an investigative reporter in Washington named Paul Sperry. And they wrote a book called Muslim Mafia, which outlines with their own documents exactly what their plan is and how they're accomplishing it. But most importantly, and this is what I want your listeners to understand, what that trial showed and what the unindicted co-conspirator list showed was that virtually every major Islamic organization in America is associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. They are fronts for the Muslim Brotherhood. So when you see CARE speaking on behalf of the mosque at Ground Zero, you need to understand they're an unindicted co-conspirator from the Holy Land Foundation trial.
General, you just mentioned the Muslim Brotherhood. We're hearing a lot about that over in Egypt right now. Mm. Explain that connection.
Yeah, the Muslim Brotherhood was started in 1928 in Cairo by two men, one named Hassan al-Banna, the other named Khattab. They didn't do very well in their first decade. They only had about 800 members. But then along came a guy named Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler began to fund the Muslim Brotherhood. And that's when he made, the arrangements with the Mufti in Jerusalem. And that's why during World War II, the Jews couldn't return to that area because Hitler was funding the Muslim Brotherhood to keep the Jews from coming back. So that's where they really got the largest amount of funding, and they really got their start, and they have just grown exponentially ever since. Their stated objective today, still, all over the world, is to establish the caliphate and bring Sharia law all over the earth. And remember, as we look at Egypt, remember that Mubarak came to power because Anwar Sadat was killed by the Muslim Brotherhood. And he was killed by the Muslim Brotherhood because of the Camp David Accords and his support for making peace with Israel.
So it's rooted in hatred for the Jews.
Rooted in
and
hatred.
For Israel.
Oh,
rooted in hatred.
And we have now our president and his administration dealing in some ways surreptitiously with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And that works counter to our interests in Israel.
That's right. And when you say you're going to deal with the Muslim Brotherhood, you're saying I'm going to deal with Al-Qaeda. I'm going to deal with Hamas. These are spinoff terrorist organizations that are part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm. the new international leader of the Muslim Brotherhood in October of last year criticized very openly on Al Jazeera and all the other Arabic networks. He criticized the leaders of these Mideast countries that have not yet implemented Sharia law. And on the 8th of January of this year, the leading cleric at Al-Anzar University, which is the leading university for Islamic doctrine and jurisprudence, made a statement that it was time for Muslims to rise up against the leaders of these countries that have not implemented Sharia law. So many people are saying, well, the Muslim Brotherhood is taking advantage of this situation, but they didn't start it. And I must tell you, I have a different view of that. I think the Muslim Brotherhood was, in fact, very much at the foundations of what we're seeing today as a result of those two things.
General Boykin, our time is gone, and this is such a vast subject that we could spend a month talking about it. Obviously, we're not going to be able to do that. You have flown here to Colorado Springs to be with us today. And so what I'd really like to do is to just continue talking here. You can then get on the plane and go home. But I want to hear more from you about what the American people need to know about this danger and this threat. And maybe more than that, what in the world we can do about it. You have written a book called Danger Close. This is a novel, but it is based on true people, real live people. Explain what's in this book, and then we'll have to say goodbye.
Yeah, Dr. Dobson, the novel really is the people in the novel are actual people. And as you know, I spent my career in special operations to include a tour at the CIA. And what I describe in there is an effort by Al-Qaeda to bring a weapon of mass destruction into America. And then I also sort of present the readers with some thought-provoking things about can a person of faith get involved in espionage where you have to lie, cheat, and steal, and you may have to kill? Can you do that? But the threat that I portray in that novel is a very real threat and one that I want Americans to be aware of, that Al-Qaeda has been trying for a long time to get a weapon of mass destruction into our country.
We have heard just in the last few weeks that Al-Qaeda has the material now for a weapon of mass destruction, primarily a dirty bomb. Does that worry you? I mean, is it true?
I can't say whether it's true or not because I honestly don't know. But yes, it does worry me, and that was really my purpose for writing this book, is to try and raise people's awareness of the danger of that happening.
We're going to pick up right here with that issue next time. And if you'll just sit tight, we'll say goodbye for today, and then we'll go on talking. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay.
God bless you.
The title of the book, again, is Danger Close, by William G. Boykin, Lieutenant General retired, and Tom Morrissey. And Luann, you will make this information known as to how they can get a copy.
Absolutely. This has been a pretty grim picture today, Doctor, so I do hope listeners will return tomorrow to hear some of the action that we can take.
Is it grim?
It's grim. But people are waking up, Dr. Thompson.
And you're going to help do that.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
This has certainly been an eye-opening discussion today on this look back at the Best of 2011 programs from last year here on Family Talk. Again, our thanks to General Jerry Boykin, who clearly knows what he's talking about and who we were privileged to have as our guest, Ryan.
Well, Luann, I hope that as Americans, we remember that this is a serious threat. 9/11 wasn't that long ago, and yet it feels like we're starting to forget the destruction that these Islamic terrorists are capable of. And I pray it doesn't take another reminder of that magnitude to bring it back to the forefront of our minds.
And that's why this is such important information that really must be shared and understood, especially as we begin this new year together and we'll be electing a president to a new term here in November. If you would like to have a copy of this program to share, which I urge you to do, or if you would even like it for your own collection, it is part of our 2011 Family Talk broadcast CD set.
And listeners can call us for that. Our phone number is 877-732-6825 or request it online at familytalk.org. There you'll even find more information about General Boykin as well as a link to the book we just mentioned titled Danger Close.
And if you happen to join us halfway through the discussion today and did not catch all the details, you will definitely want to go to familytalk.org to learn more about Sharia law and its implications for our world. We have a great organization that we are linking to that'll provide further details. Again, familytalk.org.
Thanks for spending this time with us today, and don't miss tomorrow's program as we hear the conclusion of our conversation with General Jerry Boykin, right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.
We'll see you then.